But we should start this, like most congresses on sound art are started by trying to define what sound art is, but that's maybe a bit too difficult. But something that came into my mind comparing the two lectures that we just heard was that, Helga de la Motte started to talk about sound art, kind of trying to narrow it down into the field of sound installation, and there's a few things that she thought were essential for sound installation. One was space, the freedom to walk around and create your own space or the field of presence. And the other one was kind of getting away from the idea of art as an object. And then we heard your talk, and we found space, but obviously it's not very crucial to at least the pieces you presented that I walk around and find my own position. And it was all about objects. So is there any contradiction? I don't know, you want to start?
Well, if that was a question to me, then I didn't mention that very in a clear way, but obviously space is one of the key factors or aspects here, definitely, but because the sound needs space to travel. And also in the large scale works that I do, it's very important that the viewer or the listener is free to find his own perspective. So this applies here. I don't see a contradiction.
Yeah. Let's talk about this this installation. I forgot the name with the hot wires.
It's called Concord.
Concord, okay.
Yeah, that's the general title. But then I have a number of compositions for it.
Just how high is the voltage to make them glow?
It's a factor of resistance of the wires, but I think, and also the current. So all of the three of these parameters are interlinked in one equation. I think it can be to hundreds of volts, and it can be actually maybe 60 or 70 volts.
Is that the reason why they are so high up, so you can't touch them?
One of the reasons, but they're not deadly. Like you would get a quick burn, and then your instincts would tell you to take away your finger, but.
Yeah, okay.
That's
okay.
More for aesthetical reasons, I would say.
Yeah. You presented us the layout of the room of the first, I don't know, maybe it was the only presentation or the first presentation of that piece of art of yours. There was this, you know, the sketch of the room, and there was where, like, the position of all the different wires. Would that change in a different room?
Yeah, this is a site-specific work. I kind of create a new composition also in space for different premises, different places.
Yeah.
So it is important in that sense.
Yeah, but how does it relate to the space it is in? How do you adjust it? Say you would put it into a different space like this one or something else. How would you have more wires? Would the order be different? Would you have longer ones, or how would you work?
There are a few aspects that remain constant, namely the number of the elements and the size of the elements. But then I would work out a composition as any site-specific work would do.
Yeah.
I would work out the composition of the space within the space. How?
Yeah.
Based on the number of parameters. For example, it was once presented in a conventional Concertgebouw, in a concert house in Belgium. And there I decided, because the audience is maybe not experienced to sound art and kind of installative sculptural work, so I kind of wanted to have it in a more concert situation, also because of the safety reasons, little children might come and kind of, I don't want to hurt anyone by presence of my work. So it is definitely influenced by the space where it's presented.
Yeah. How would you say, like, say, for example, you'd be invited to, I don't know, like a gallery in New York to present this particular piece. Would you just ask them to send you a blueprint of the room and you would do the composition, or you have to be at the particular individual space to explore it by yourself with your senses?
Well, actually both ways, because of course from my experience of working with spaces, also blueprints are helpful to have some initial assumptions as to the placement, but at the same time it's essential to be in the place, so I usually do a site visit before if it's possible to install the work.
Yeah. Helge de la Motte Harbour, did you see any contradiction between what you said, what he showed to us?
I am more interested in the visitor, what the visitor experience in such a space, and this is via installation, the old Pythagoras, Pythagoras. So I think that the dimension of a space is changed by the visitor if he can walk around, yeah. Because if I am in this corner or in this corner, so I listen to other I don't listen in total to the other sounds, but some sounds are closer to me and some other. Are more distant. Did you reflect on such things?
I think it's essential to have this at the same time to have this very subjective perspective on the experience. But I think this is also something which is given by the very setting of presentation of the work. Once it's presented in a space where spectators or listeners can travel around and walk around, it is it's something. It's a factor that the artist cannot influence. I think it's just that you can kind of have this. You can create this opportunity, let's say, but then it's very subjective. Then some listeners prefer to stay in one place, and some prefer to explore this place by having different perspectives, listening perspectives.
One question. You are involved in the relation of sound and the object, yeah? That's the table sounding. But the sound itself creates a space, and it is not of such an interest for the audience to see that the wire is making this sound than to have the feeling of a sounding room, yeah, where the sound as such has objective qualities. A sound can be longer, a sound can be thicker, a sound can be more distant or closer, and all these things. Do you reflect on sound as an object? The sound an object. Maybe Edgar Varèse used in his music the sound as an object which touch you, and it doesn't matter it's come from a trumpet or another instrument. But you are more interested what the trumpet is playing and the relation of the sound to the trumpet, and not of this sound quality inherent in a sound.
Well, actually both ways. I think the sound coming from trumpet is I mean, it cannot be, I mean, because of the dimensions, material, and the proportion of trumpet, it will always be the sound of this very trumpet. If the trumpet would be different, then the sound would also be different. I think there is a very direct relationship here. But I find it difficult, actually, to talk about sound objects in context of real experience of sound, because the sound is always a summation of some of many things. It's never just, you cannot make any borders between sounds there. It's a kind of physical field of physically of vibrations that is present.
Yeah, I think you have to wait for another 3 or 4 minutes, because I think, I don't know if that was what you, sorry, we've got time, huh? You can wait. I don't know if that, I got you right, Ms. de la Motte, you were talking about this difference between an object that produces sound as a sound object and the sound itself being an object. That was the two distinctions you were making. And you were asking the question whether you could conceive sound as an object of its by itself. And you say no, because it doesn't have borders. That's what your point is. So it's a matter of definition, obviously.
I think so. I mean, sound can become an object if you think about it. Then we kind of impose.
Sounds in the space are in encounters themselves, and they mix and they make other sounds which are not only related to the object.
Of course, yeah, yeah. They also. I mean, there is a complex interaction happening, and it's.
This installation by Lamont de Young, where sounds in the space make some notes, yeah. So it is not of interest that the sound is coming from a sine wave generator, but that is really sound in a space. And the sounds make a space and a network, I think so.
Yeah, I would talk about this event more as a sound field. It's hard to distinguish individual, as you say, they mix up. It's a summation of so many waves. To my mind, the field is a more closer term to the physical reality that occurs. I think we can talk about objects on a kind of thought level, or on the level when the sounds have been captured to some sort of medium, then it acquires, then we can isolate it from other sounds.
Carsten. I think the 3 minutes are over, so you should start talking. Is there anything you wanted to add, or should I ask you a question?
What I can add, maybe really simply, is that what you were talking about, that the relationship in the space is, in our time, we have a completely other experience about space like 100 years ago. So it's really like relational to your individual perspective in the space that's creating also the installation at the end. That's why I find it so important for an artist, also for my work, to be in the space before, an empty space mainly, and then discovered what possibilities the space already have, you know. And then you can find points that you can really point it in a way with your installation. It's difficult to speak in general about that, but As we know, sound installations are not only like invisible sound pieces. It's also possible that we have objects in the space creating the installation. But the main fact is that we're not putting like in music and conclusive musical piece in a space, which you can only percept on one, or you can percept it in one direction in the best way, like a 5.1. You have the sweet point spot in the middle, and when you're going out, it's not anymore the idea of the composer that you be there. You have to be there, so it's quite strict. And this is the opposite also to this other relationship to the space, because as you said, when you are there in the space, you have a completely other idea of the space. Or when I'm sitting there, I feel the presence between some musical rehearsals and the really deep infrasound coming out of through the window, through the whole building in the space. So it's even this space have a quite special presence in a sound way, but not only, also atmospheric. Because they're thinking at the music school here, they're thinking when we have double windows, it's perfect, and we have some nice material on the one side of the space, the acoustic will be better, but then they have the door here, and you see the deep frequencies coming through the basement in the space. When you don't feel or get it, then you, I think, fail also with your installation. You have to really research a space in a way before you start working there. This is also the opposite as when I'm doing only something in the space and let it run.
But would you consider your work to be an installation, any of your work, rather than an object or a sculpture, which makes quite the difference?
This is a tough question, actually. Like always, to put, I find it difficult to put categories on what I do.
Yeah.
I also consider that sometimes I have a different role as a composer, but I'm writing music, which is going to be played back in a totally different situation in mind. But other than that, I think from the terms that you named, I prefer sculpture, because I think it's important to emphasize the spatial aspect of it.
Yeah. Okay. Of the object itself. But how about the relation between the object and the space around? I mean, I already asked you the question, like if you finished a piece, there's the first presentation, and then someone else asks you to present it at their place, and you put it into your suitcase, and you travel, and you open the suitcase, will you adjust it or not? Because like a sculpture, a traditional sculpture will not be adjusted. If you have like a marble sculpture, you just put it there, and you might change the light around or a bit, but you don't really care about the space it's in. You seem to care about it.
Yes, I do, definitely. So yeah, I'm not so. It's a bit confusing with these terms actually for me, because and it's also different. It's also different from piece to piece. There are works which are really can be packed and transformed to another, transported to another place. But quite the spatial installations, they are very sensitive actually to the surroundings. I do care a lot about that.
Yeah.
So maybe we should try to define the boundaries of sculpture versus installation, let's say.
Yeah.
Is it possible to say that you create, in some sense, a musical piece with other instruments, with everyday material? But it has a little bit the quality of a musical piece, which also has to be adapted to a space. If a space has many, many resonances or so, then a conductor or the musicians has to adapt to a space. But they play always the same piece in some sense. Yeah, it's quite different in a room, but it's the same piece. And if you organize the strings or these plates, then you create more a piece of music which has its qualities in itself, and the instruments are quite different from normal instruments.
Yeah, I think I think this comparison is interesting. But the difference would be that in a musical composition, the main accent is on the time structure of the sound events. But I think in my work, it's at least equal, but sometimes the spatial aspects are at least as strong as the time aspects. I think this would be the difference between a kind of musical piece. But indeed, I think there is definitely something inherited from the musical situation, and something from a performative and sculptural situation.
Because you were actually using a term that normally is hardly ever used in discussions on sound art. You called yourself a composer, I guess. Because normally people say, composition is here, and sound art, whatever it is over there. Is that because you said this is the faculty he's been educated in, the Music Academy?
Yeah, one of the institutions, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So is that why you consider yourself to be a composer, because you went through a program that is called composition?
No, I think it's more about the compositional approach that I apply to organization in space and both in time.
Yeah.
I think these are actions of composer actually to set up environment and set up the events in the time structure and events in a spatial structure.
Maybe we can ask Karsten if there's, I mean, he's been curating so much in the last 20 years in Berlin, and well, as you can see, even like far away from Berlin. And I don't know how many, probably 100 or 200, 300 sound artists or whatever, or artists you've been working with. Were there a lot of sound artists that would consider themselves to be composers? And what would it mean to you if someone says that?
That's, I think, half and half, but you can also understand as a composer as a much more general term, like, because composing also the space and the materials together in an installation, you can also say as a composer, it's not like this academic music composer, what we understand as a composer is. So, but several people, also people from the Sonology Institute, like Edwin van der Heide or others, working partially in this field of sound art or media art with sound, which is a little bit of difference, I guess. And then in music, they're making tape concerts or compositions for little ensembles. So, but I think there are people coming from different areas, so it's, you cannot really say half of them are composers, half of them. There's also people from the performance art coming in and creating installations, not anymore using their bodies, but using or working with the space as an atmospheric situation, or changing the atmosphere in the space. Or when you're thinking in the history, what we hear maybe tomorrow in France, where you, who was the guy who created this double space, who called in the warm space with color and sound. And so you have, so he was a visual artist and sculpturist.
And, with the hot space and the other one was colder?
Yeah. No. Help us. Can you help us?
Oh, the French one,
Nicolas Schaeffer.
Nicolas Schaeffer.
But it's going away from the question, but I guess it's not the main topic. It's, I think it's really, I understand it more on a phenomenological side, because I'm looking in the space, and when I'm going in an exhibition, that's why my work is all the time traveling around to get a real experience about work. Because I cannot read it from your nice presentation. I can read from your presentation that your entrance is another one than, for example, the entrance from Max Easley, who sits here too. Because he not, for example, not tuning in a way like with a tuning operator your harps. It's happened. You find a pressure which is nice, and then he's waiting what's happened. But even it's such a chance process, because it's even depending on the wind. So why he should, you know, make a composition, because even the wind sometimes not coming. So it's also a quite special experience, when you, because you can also tune all the strings in different tunings, and then you can create a special accord, for example, musical wise.